I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, whenever I shave my head, the headphones feel weird. Do I have a small head?
It's a little tiny.
A little small?
Mine's gigantic, though. Like, if I shaved my head like you did, it'd look like a Remax hot air balloon going through the studio.
So combined, we have a normal size head. That's good.
The human head averages 8 pounds, yeah, according to Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire.
That's what I heard. Have you seen him recently?
It's scary.
I'm just
saying. Halloween.
Aging doesn't do all of us well, and I'm not the best looking guy anyway. I am the sports machine, Sean Levine. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive, all that stuff. I got Rob Brenton on the buttons, and those tones that you just heard are that of Dusty Likens. Before we get too far into the show today, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about, it's a Red Friday. It feels a little bit different because the Chiefs have had such a difficult and entertaining schedule so far, where if you think about it, at one point we talked about the Patriots maybe being a real threat in the AFC. We talked about Buffalo maybe being a real threat. At the beginning of the season, we didn't know if Houston was a real threat or not. Of course, Baltimore and all those teams in the rearview mirror. And now the Chiefs have the Jets. So it's understandable that this Friday might feel a little bit less red than a typical Red Friday. But before we get too far into it, help me out, 913-576-7610 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, because I love these guys I work with, but I don't believe them. Is the best way to reheat a steak by not broiling it? I always thought broiling it was the best way to do it. Why is that not the best way to do it in the oven?
Because broiling, you're just going to, like, the other night I was making tacos, and I put tostadas.
This is a steak, though.
I know, but I'm saying broiling is, like, instant hot. Like, it's going to burn, like, the surface immediately. Like, you have a steak. It's a good cut of meat, I hope.
Yeah.
Not a sirloin. It's, like, a strip or something.
Yeah, it's a strip.
Okay. Well, like, when you put it on 350, it's going to heat it up a little bit easier from the middle to the outside. Like, you don't want to burn your steak.
But you understand I'm not cooking it. I'm just trying
But when you do that, like, the outside's going to crisp, and then you're going to have a terrible product, and then you're going to be mad at us for not telling you that you shouldn't broil it. 350, 10 minutes, pull that thing out, eat it a little chill.
If anybody has their own kind of tricks of the trade, let me know on the text line. I'd really appreciate that. You know who doesn't have a lot of tricks of the trade? The New York Jets. My goodness, what a bad football team that is. And actually, you know what? I think that I just did a disservice to bad football teams, because there are still bad football teams in the NFL. Like, watch the Washington football team. That's a bad football team, right? Watch the Cincinnati Bengals. That's a bad, bad football team. And then there's the Jets. The difference between all these other teams, the Minnesota Vikings, the teams that have a win or two wins and might pick in the top five, is that it at least appears to the naked eye that they're trying to win, that the reason, Dusty, that they suck is because their roster sucks, and maybe their coach sucks, and their quarterback probably sucks. That's how it works. It's not very difficult. Look at the best teams. They have the best coaches and the best quarterbacks. We can go up and down with the Russell Wilsons and the Pete Carrolls and the Patrick Mahomes. We don't have to do that, because that's just the way that this game works. I just think that the Jets are a different kind of bad. Like, the Jets appear – I know that we bring on all these different guests.
Yeah.
And you notice they bring up their relationship with the general manager, so they don't want to talk any smack. But I think that anybody that has two eyes that's ever watched football looks at what they're doing, sees the quarterback that they're throwing out there, sees that they haven't fired the coach, sees the moves that they made, you know, Jamal Adams, all these different things. They're not trying to win. If anything, they're doing everything they can to try to lose football games.
Right, and the thing that kind of stuck out the most to me is that yesterday when we were doing the show was when we were talking to Baldinger, that and Barber, is that they both had respect for the GM in New York, saying that he knew what he was doing. And granted, they've had...
They're in football, though. Like, they probably know the guy. You know, they've sat down and broke bread with the dude.
And that's fair. And I mean, and I'm going to trust their word more than I would trust my own, because they've been around the guy. They know that he has a right.
What do your eyes tell you, Dusty? Does that look like a football team is trying to win? or that just sucks at football?
So it's a football team that I think is very far behind where they need to be, obviously, because of their record and yeah. what's playing. But I mean, I think it goes to they missed on a quarterback. That hurts. Think about the Chiefs for 30 years, didn't have a quarterback. What happens when they draft one? Obviously, he's an anomaly. He's probably one of the best we'll ever see. But just to have a quarterback, somebody that's decent at quarterback, can make you that much less of what is an atrocity with the Jets, where they are just not winning games.
But if you want to argue the Chiefs have the best coach and the best quarterback, couldn't you also say the Jets have the worst coach and the worst quarterback?
Maybe not the worst.
Pretty damn close.
Pretty close to the worst quarterback. It's just, it's where they miss. And then again, what Baldinger told us yesterday, that with Jamal Adams, it was they didn't want to sign him to the biggest safety contract, but they drafted him, which doesn't make sense. If you draft a guy in the top five, but then all of a sudden, 2 years later, 3 years later, you don't think he's worth that? Like, how does that make sense?
Bro, they're not trying to win. They're trying to get Trevor Lawrence. And they're doing everything they can. And I would argue this. Yeah. I would argue that what they're doing is a little bit more difficult than even what the Patriots did the year they went 16-0. Now, I know they didn't cash in because of the weird Super Bowl and all that stuff, but going 16-0, everybody tries to do every single year. Now, almost no team is capable of doing it. You could argue maybe at some point the Chiefs, Pat will get off to a 9-0, 10-0 start, and we'll have that conversation at some point, but it's very difficult to do. If you notice, so the Patriots went 16-0, didn't win the Super Bowl. The Dolphins back in the day, on a 14-game schedule, of course, ended up running the table.
Right.
So essentially, the same amount of teams have had a perfect regular season as have had an imperfect regular season.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like it's more difficult to do to go 0-16 because you fall into these wins because of the schedule, because of a bad call, because of the weather, because of just parity in the NFL. And it just appears like the New York Jets are doing everything they can to get Trevor Lawrence. And later on the show, we'll talk about, is he worth it? Because most of the time that it appears that teams have sucked to get a quarterback, or they've ended up with, quote-unquote, the can't-miss guy,
right,
the Andrew Luck, the Peyton Manning. If you knew for a fact that Trevor Lawrence was going to turn into Peyton Manning, then the Jets are doing the right thing. 1,000% they're doing the right thing. If they get Peyton Manning for the next 10 years, then who cares how bad they are in 2020? Nobody will remember it. The year's been hokey anyway. If it turns into Andrew Luck, though, Dusty, and he's around, and I know, weird set of circumstances with Luck, and he's good for a few years, and then he's out of the league, and then you're kind of back to square one, I'm just asking, is it worth what it appears to me they're trying to do?
So, kind of a loaded question, because you start off with what it's harder to do. I think it's harder to go 16-0. Personally, I think that's the hardest thing to do, is to try to stay undefeated. One is because, think of how many times in the media when you start getting a 9-0, 10-0, 11-0, 12-0, you start getting those questions. It's also the NFL.
They start asking you the questions when you're 0-12, too. Remember that Lions team? We talked about them all year.
Right, but they're not as serious. Like, it's just more so like, hey, do you think you can do something that can turn this around? Do you think, yeah, we'll try to get better. Whereas 16-0, people start saying, well, the Miami Dolphins, the New England Patriots. Now, granted, the Browns and Lions both went 0-6 or went winless in a couple seasons. But the thing is, I think it's harder to go perfect than it is to go imperfect, because you can lose things, you can cash in, and like we heard yesterday, sometimes players will start to begin to play for the name on the back of the jersey, not the front of their jersey. That's obviously a disaster if you want to try to win games. So I think it's extremely tough to go perfect. I just think that you can't make any mistakes when you get everybody's A game and they're coming after you to knock you off. When you're 0-12, people are just trying to play you and get out of there. They don't want to stick around. They don't care if you're whatever. Like, you're going to see this Sunday, the Chiefs and the Jets. You're not going to see a full game with the Chiefs starters. Now, to go back to the question, are the Jets doing the right thing? If Trevor Lawrence is Peyton Manning, obviously they're doing the thing. If he's Andrew Luck, they're doing the right thing. Andrew Luck was a good pro quarterback. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback. He's a playoff contending quarterback. Won playoff games. He just decided that he didn't want to play football anymore. I can't say that Trevor Lawrence is going to do that, but I think Trevor Lawrence was going to be the first overall pick, whether he played or not. But we can get into that a little bit later. But if they're doing this for the right reasons, like if this is what it is, this is it. Like, this is this GM's only shot. If you're throwing your chips in, you're canceling the game, and you want to go 0-16, and you want to for sure get that first pick, then yes, you're doing the right thing, because Trevor Lawrence is what it appears to be, the next good quarterback to be drafted in the NFL.
I mean, you got to think it's better than where, like, Washington's going to end up, where they're probably going to win 3 games this year and have the third pick, and yeah, then all of a sudden they don't get Trevor Lawrence, and they weren't that much better than the Jets. So how is that really that much better? You said that you don't think that Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the fourth quarter. Toss up. Do you think that he's going to be in the fourth quarter, Kansas City? 913-576-7610, the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. I would say probably not. It kind of feels like one of those games where the Chiefs will have the early lead, they'll start to pull away, and then the fourth quarter. Most of the time, the NFL, even when you've got like the 3-touchdown lead, right, you're up by 24 points, you still keep your team in. You just run the football. You play a little bit more conservatively. This feels like a let's get our guys out of there. You got Carolina coming up next. You know, Bill Self kind of likes to take his player out right before the TV timeout to get the extended. Right. I feel like the Chiefs can do that the next couple of weeks. Now, Carolina's not a pushover. They did lose to the Falcons last night, which is a bad loss. But they're no pushover. But the Chiefs are in this part of their schedule where it feels like, you know what, maybe you can get the guys out in the fourth quarter. Then you got the bye week. Because coming up in like a month, you got Tampa Bay. And we're going to talk about Tampa Bay later on. They've all of a sudden become, I would say, maybe not everybody's darling, but certainly the NFL and the public's darling. Like, people are betting on them. I saw a DVOA stat earlier today that says that by a lot of different measurements, they're by far the best team in the NFL. So I think that the Tampa Bay-Kansas City Super Bowl that we talked about yesterday is just
getting you horny?
It really is. It's juicier than that steak I got cooking out there. Coming up next, we'll talk some Jets football. We're going to bring on Andy Vasquez. He talks Jets football. He's the beat writer for him for USA Today. We'll talk Andy Vasquez. We'll talk Jets, and we'll find out if they're actually as bad as they appear to be and if they're trying to be this bad at football. It's a Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
I'm in a very intense conversation here on the text line, 913-576-7610. Who was hotter, Laura from Family Matters or Myra Monkhouse? I mean, it's tough. The answer is both of them. You know who hasn't been very hot this year? That would be the New York Jets football team. With that, let's talk about him with Andy Vasquez. Well, maybe we should dial him back up. Andy's got apparently my great-grandmother's cell phone. So, yeah, I mean,
he didn't like your answer about who's hotter.
That could have been it.
He's
that
like, nope, I'm a Laura guy.
Well, maybe he was. Do you remember, were you a Family Matters guy?
Oh, yeah. Stephon.
Do you remember when he went? It was Stephon Urkel? That's what I was going
to
ask you.
That's what she
about.
Got. She got him to pull split personalities. That's how you know she's hot.
That show was great. I remember there was an hour of television viewing back-to-back. You would get that, and then you would get Step-by-Step with the Code Man. Remember Code Man?
I love Step-by-Step.
Lived out in the van. All right, let's try this again. Andy Vasquez of USA Today to talk Jets with us. What's up, Andy? How you doing, man?
Good, guys. Sorry about that. I don't know how to work my new phone, apparently.
It's all good, man. You're not the only one. We have this gentleman, Therese Paler from Yahoo Sports. You've probably heard of him. He actually borrows Zach Morris's phone every single week, so don't sweat it. We've gotten used to it at this point.
I got to get better. You know, I'm covering the Jets. I followed them a little bit too much on that one.
Yeah, you're 0-1 to start the show.
Perhaps. You know, it was very Sam Darnold-ish of you. At what point do you think, honestly, the Jets looked at themselves and said, this is not the answer to winning, but we don't really have a better answer?
Man, I mean, it probably was pretty early in this season. And I think they went into the season thinking that if they had their weapons at wide receiver, they could do something on offense, but it became pretty apparent during that 49ers game when the 49ers had no one and the Jets had most everyone, and they got completely housed. We've seen the 49ers haven't been that great since. So I think at that point, you kind of started to see that something was really wrong. And then from there, it's just, I mean, when you're talking about it being a good showing when they, like, kind of remain competitive against the Bills but only get 4 yards of offense in the second half, it's you're grasping for straws. So it's been rough, and I don't think it's going to get better on Sunday, especially given some of the Jets' injuries going into this game.
Is that an exaggeration, or do they actually only get 4 yards in the second half?
No, that's for real. And
oh my goodness.
Actually, somehow worse than that, because they had 13 yards on the first play of the second half.
Wow.
And then they finished with 4 yards in the second half. That is for real, and it's actually, I think, the least yards they've had in the half, even the Jets, in like 40 years.
So. I mean, I would think so. I would think so. Why do you think in the first place they ever hired Adam Gase, and why at this point do you think they haven't fired Adam Gase?
Well, you could kind of see the reasoning behind it at the time. Like, Gase has a good reputation with quarterbacks. Sam Darnold, they've got a young quarterback. I see where they were going, but there are also a lot of red flags, especially with, you know, his offensive rankings in Miami were terrible, and some of the relationship issues, and we've seen both of those problems come over to the Jets. The reason they haven't fired him at this point, like, what's the point? And why mess with what's working in terms of getting you, you know, overwhelmingly to be the favorite to pick number one in the draft? I mean, this is working, and that's obviously the best thing for this franchise right now, so why mess with that? And I think, you know, they didn't fire him after the season, which I thought there was a good case for, or after last season, which I thought there was a good case for, because Christopher Johnson, this was his first major hire. He's the guy who's filling in for Woody Johnson. He's been the acting owner since Woody went to London as part of the Trump administration. It was his first big hire, and if you give up on that after 1 year, you kind of admit that you don't know what you're doing. So I think that's why he stuck around. But the way this is going, there's not going to be a choice. They're going to move on, obviously. And they're probably going to be moving on from Sam Darnold, too, the way things are going.
So we started the show off today, Andy, with what it's tougher to do. Is it tougher to go 0-16, or is it more tough to go 16-0 in this league?
I think it's tougher to go 0-16 because you look at even this Jets team, they should have beat the Broncos. They were ahead in the fourth quarter. They had a play late in the game, about 6 minutes left, a sack that would have given them the ball and the lead deep in Broncos territory. And then they were called for a face mask. The Broncos march down the field, take the lead, and that's it. So, and even last week, the Jets were in the game despite getting 4 yards of total offense until the end of until they threw an interception on the final possession with less than 2 minutes left. So I think it's harder to go 0-16 because even the Jets, who have at this point one of the worst point differentials in modern NFL history and on pace to have one of the worst ever, they've almost won two games. So it's hard to go 0-16, but you've got to like the Jets' chances at this point. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Andy Vasquez here, Jets beat writer for USA Today on The Drive. So what happened with Le'Veon Bell in New York? Do you think it was more Le'Veon? Do you think it was more Gase? Do you think it was more the city, the situation? Because Le'Veon Bell, there was this crazy stat that he had like 200 and something runs in New York and only had one 15-plus yard run, and then he had a couple of them his first game here in Kansas City. It can't just be a change of scenery, right?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think it was Le'Veon admitted earlier this year that he wasn't as motivated as he needed to be. I don't think that's the main issue, but just to get that out of the way. Secondly, Adam Gase did not find any sort of way to utilize him or work him into the offense and make him a part of it. And there was kind of tension between the two of them right from the beginning because Gase didn't really try to hide that he didn't agree with the decision of former GM Mike Maccagnan to spend that kind of money on a running back. He didn't think the Jets were in a place to do that. And so that got out there, was widely reported. Le'Veon, that probably didn't start them off on the best foot, added tension. And then if you look at the offensive line the last 2 years, I mean, he only played two games here this year, but last year it was a historically bad offensive line, just absolutely brutal. I think all of that played into why it didn't work for Le'Veon. And yeah, it's, even now, like, we've seen some Jets players, like, there's a guy, Ty Johnson. I'm not even sure. I can't remember his last name. I think that's it, but he's a third-string running back. He reeled off, like, a 40-yard run or a 30-yard run the other day. So it's possible to make long runs, but I just think the whole situation, Bell was getting limited opportunities, and he was, not really where he was in Pittsburgh.
Andy, before you get out of here, if, and more likely when, the Jets end up parting ways with Adam Gase, do you think they would have interest in Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah, absolutely. I know they interviewed him back in 2019 when they hired Gase, and he's obviously added to his legacy since then with the work he's done with the Chiefs and now adding a Super Bowl to that. And he's well-respected around the league. I think the bigger question is Eric Bieniemy going to want to go to the Jets? He probably can find a better situation this offseason with some of the job openings that are going to be open already, we know, with Houston and with the Falcons. So I think it's going to be kind of the other way. Is where is Bieniemy going to find the best opportunity? Maybe it is with the Jets if they end up getting Trevor Lawrence, but it's kind of the uncertainty there about him staying in college or leaving that he opened up this week. Maybe that doesn't happen, and that would make the Jets' job a lot less attractive. So it's interesting, but I definitely think the Jets will be interested in having.
Thanks for your time, Andy. Appreciate you as always, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. That's Andy Vasquez of USA Today Sports. Think about this. This is how bad the Jets are. He's the beat writer for the Jets for USA Today, like one of, if not the biggest national publication. Maybe I misheard him or something. When he was talking about one of their running backs, he couldn't even remember the guy's name. Like,
that's where we're at with
it's
yours.
Yeah, it's not good. And hey, I'm with him. I think at this point, I mean, so if they lose the Chiefs, which you all think they're going to, I just checked, they're now a 20.5-point underdog, at least on Bovada, then they're halfway home. Right, and they're going to be underdogs the rest of the way on their schedule,
right,
and they got five games on the road for what it's worth. So, yeah, I think this could be, like he pointed out, point-wise, like point differential-wise, is one of the worst teams in the history of the league. And to me, that's always a good indicator of how good a team actually is. That's always been a stat that I like, because sometimes you'll see these oddities where a team's a couple of games over 500, but they've been outscored. I want to see how good the team really is. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think that this Jets team really is a not just a bad team by 2020 standards, by history standards. They're just a bad, bad football team. Coming up next, I'll get you some Levine's locks, and I know a lot of us haven't been on a plane in a while, but I figured today's the best day to do this since the Chiefs are playing the Jets. What's good plane etiquette? What's bad plane etiquette? What's dusty plane etiquette? We'll find out next here on The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Yo, that steak that I heated up during the break is fire. I'm just a little bit worried that the whole place is going to be fire here in a second. Are you guys serious? It's surely in 2020, the oven that I use will turn itself off.
Ovens don't turn off. That's why they make that click noise so you don't burn your house down. Two things, Sean. I've got to get you to stop using the word fire. We got to do something else. Delicious, tasteful, exceptional. And okay, then the other thing is Rob and I are still waiting for a thank you. You wanted to broil your steak. You would have
ruined
really
it. Good.
Yeah, you have a bottle of A1 next to it. That's the third thing. We got to get you out of there.
I'm pretty sure that oven's going to turn itself off.
It's not. And the third ingredient in that A1 sauce, raisin paste. If you think I'm wrong, look it up. It's right next to you.
That can't be true.
It is. It's raisin paste is like the third ingredient in A1. You should never put A1 on a steak. We've got to get you out of the word fire. And we
tomato
get you
puree. Okay, let's see. Tomato puree.
Uh-huh.
Vinegar, corn syrup, raisin paste.
Fourth ingredient.
Oh,
I knew
my
it.
Gosh.
Fourth ingredient. Get A1 the hell out of here. Get the word fire out of your vocabulary.
What's raisin paste? No,
A1 sauce.
You know why I'm using it? Because my girlfriend lied to me. And she, like, the whole thing about our relationship, she's always like, you can't lie. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Well, I hope not.
I know, but everybody does like, you know, little white lies to get out of things. And she'll catch me in that every now and again. Like,
those will get you.
So she pulled one of those. Listen to this. The last time she made me a steak, I said, hey, she's a really good cook. I said, can you make me some horseradish sauce also? And she was like, who the hell am I, Rachel Ray? And so she lied to me. She said that she did, and she put it in like a little, like a ramekin or whatever they're called.
That's what it's called.
And I dipped it, and it was phenomenal. And I was like, oh, babe, this is so good. And then yesterday, I found the jar. She went to the store. This is like some sun fresh stuff.
Yeah.
This is some jar stuff that she tried to pull off as her own.
Well, horseradish is like an extremely hard to make. It's, you have to like shred it. You have to like,
no,
let
the creamy
it sweat
stuff.
I know, but that's how it gets to that point. Well, you got like mayo and
then she shouldn't have lied to me.
Or you should have just gone to like a restaurant and said, hey, can I have a side of horseradish sauce?
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get any horseradish on a plane. Speaking of on a plane, that was a terrible transition. Speaking of on a plane, Rob, do you have any like plane music over there? Perhaps some John Denver leaving on a jet plane? Yeah, that'll work.
This is actually me playing the acoustic guitar today, shirtless.
When flying, do you remember the last time that you flew somewhere?
Yeah, I flew to Denver, Colorado last year for a bachelor party for a Broncos Chiefs game.
I'm sure
Mahomes lost his kneecap.
Sure, there was no weed involved on that trip.
Nope.
I'm trying to think of, the Super Bowl, I guess, would have been the last time. Me and C-Dot flying back from.
What a humble brag you just threw out.
No, I swear that's not what I tried. I promise you.
Smashing a steak.
I was trying to think of, bro, if it would have been Omaha, I would have said Omaha.
When's the last time I was on a plane? Oh, yeah, when I went to Miami for my job.
When flying. That was such a great trip. Don't forget the job paid for everything. Miami's most expensive city I've ever been to also.
Can be.
When flying, do you say something, Dusty, if the kid kicks the back of your seat? The entire flight.
No, I'm just, I don't know. Maybe 2 years ago, Dusty would have. Nowadays, I'm just kind of like over that. Like, I might like do like a look.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Dusty was much angrier than this version of Dusty. I'll say that. What? Okay, what if you're What if you need to pee and you're sitting in the window seat and you don't know the other two people that are in your row back before COVID?
Oh, man, I got to go. It's getting up and it's, hey, excuse me.
See, dude, that's so weak. I'm sorry.
Why?
I'm sorry. And if you've got, like, bladder issues or Why? UTI issues, then I apologize. You should absolutely go to the bathroom because that's just, like, a medical condition.
Right.
But if you're just a grown man and you're sitting in the window seat, and you're asking, it depends how long the flight is. You know, if you're flying halfway around the world, then you know, nature calls. If you're going to Chicago on a Southwest flight, I swear, and you're flying 58 minutes, however long it is, and you ask that person to get up, the issue is with you.
I got to pee.
Oh,
if I got to go, I got to go. I'm not gonna,
Dusty.
Do you know what it's like when you land? Do you know how bad it is? Like, the thing is, it might be a 58-minute flight. But then you land, they just sit there, then they get everybody off one at a time. They have to go through the terminal. They have to go get your luggage. It's not just a 58 minutes. You got another 35, 40 minutes after that.
That's actually my least favorite part of the flight, and that's actually why for a while I used to take Amtrak. Now, I don't anymore, but I would take the Amtrak to Chicago because I used to get sick of, first of all, it costs like $18, and you'd meet the weirdest people on Earth, so it's kind of a fun experience.
Yeah.
But on top of that, getting off of an airplane, it's almost like it's everybody's first time ever flying.
It's terrible. It's a horrible experience.
And it feels like there should be a better process. Like, I don't know if these people need to have, like, wear a colored bracelet or something, depending on how long you've flown.
You want to just open the side doors and go down the raft?
Well, no, that's I don't think that you could do that.
Get out!
I've heard worse ideas, but yeah. I'm just saying it only takes one that has never done it before, and they either I don't mind if it's an old person that clogs up the aisle. I'm talking about the person that goes too early. If you're in row 17 and you think that you're important enough to go to the front, who in the hell do you think you are? Sir, ma'am, you'll get an elbow if you come by me and do that. Anyway.
Just not in the bladder, hopefully.
Oh, what if you're on a red eye flight and somebody's got the light on?
Is that just direct flight? That's what red eye means? Like,
no, red eye is like middle of the night, like super early. Yeah.
They made a movie about that.
A direct flight's a direct flight. I've been known to turn the person's light off next to me. If they're sleeping and I'm trying to sleep, you got to turn that thing
off. Are you a fan guy? Do you turn the fan on and angle it at you?
I mean, yeah, who's not? On an airplane? How can you not be with that stale, weird air? Anyway, that's our Jets talk for today because I figure we might as well talk about actual Jets than the New York football Jets because they're a bad, bad football team.
From the 913, I sat by someone on a plane one time and he was literally pooping his pants. He definitely had a diaper on. What do you do in that situation?
Again, if that's some sort of like a medical condition, you just have to live with it. Because that's the thing about
More mad about that or the guy that gets up to take a pee on a 58-minute flight?
Pardon my French, and no pun intended, that's a crapshoot, depending on who you sit next to. Right. It's a crapshoot.
All right.
Is it not? Now, if you fly with a bunch of people and you know that you're going to be in seat B and they're going to be in seat C, but when you fly Southwest, it's literally pick your seat. So the move to make is be late. Not too late, but like let everybody else get on the plane and then just get in where you fit in toward the end.
I don't know. I don't see that. Do you get like cocktails on the plane?
I don't drink on the airplane
ever.
I'm already. I'm an anxious flyer.
Yeah. That calls me right down. It depends on the flight. Like if it's a morning flight,
if they let me hit my little e-cigarette on there, I would. But no, there's no way. No way. I'm not.
I mean, the $8. Here's a pro tip.
Okay.
Fly on a holiday because all drinks are free.
What are you talking about?
I kid you not. If you fly Southwest holiday.
Are you sure?
I have flown on the 4th of July. I have flown on Memorial Day. And I have flown on St. Patrick's Day. And drinks are free.
Maybe
up
they
to
thought
two.
You were cute, Rob. I don't know.
It's a big thing.
Can anybody confirm this? 913-576-7676. I can't say that it's not true. I feel like that would be more of a known thing. That you can drink for free on Southwest.
I believe it's up to
holidays.
Two drinks. But yeah, two drinks for free on
I'm
holidays.
A Spirit Airlines guy. It ain't nothing free on there. You got to go to the bathroom. They're like, all right, you got to pee. It's going to be $2. You got to poop. It's going to be $6. If you want toilet paper, it's going to be $8.
That guy with a diaper. That's why he wears that.
It's a weird situation. But the Jets game is not a good one this Sunday. However, it's not a bad Sunday slate.
We begin our trip around a big NFL Sunday with a division foe for the Chiefs facing a surprising Cleveland Browns team. Sean, who you got on Sunday? The Vegas Raiders or the Cleveland Browns?
Probably Cleveland. I know the Raiders beat the Chiefs, but I think that was just the best game that they played and the worst game the Chiefs have played. I think it's the worst game that we've seen of Tyrann Mathieu, and it's the best that anybody's ever seen of Derek Carr. I think that's what that was. I do think that Vegas has a chance of creeping in the back door of the playoffs with the expanded postseason. So somebody's going to go 8-8 or somebody's going to go 9-7, even in the AFC and make it. So why not the Raiders? And Cleveland, Cleveland is a good football team because they're a talented football team. But there's a difference between being talented and good, or basically being good just because you're talented, and then actually being dangerous or a Super Bowl contender. Now, you could also be what Cleveland was last year, Dusty, which is talented and bad. Right. This year, they're talented and good, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender by any means, but I do think they win this game.
It's interesting. They're favored by 2.5, so it's not a confident bet because you should get 3 every time you're at home. It's not a huge game for Baker, so Baker should play okay. He's coming off a pretty good performance last week. He's also without Odell Beckham the rest of the year, so that's kind of an interesting play. But I'm heavy Cleveland. I think Cleveland covers 2.5. I think they beat the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are for real yet. I think they're in the right direction. I don't think they make the playoffs. I think they're a 7-9 team, and I don't think this is a game that they can win against Cleveland on the road, nonetheless.
We continue, and the Rams are playing the Dolphins this weekend, which means the beginning of the Tua Tagovailoa era down in Miami. I want you guys to tell me if you believe he'll do over or under the stats I give you in game one. Now, these stats are what Burrow did in the average of his first two games. Over under 260, 1.5 touchdowns, and half an interception for Tua Tagovailoa.
I'll take the overs on all of them, but not because I love Tua. In fact, Rob, you know how I feel about Tua. I think he's going to be okay. I don't think that his upside is anywhere near what Joe Burrow is or Kyler Murray or some of these other quarterbacks that have come out the last couple of years. I could be wrong. Obviously, he was the guy that was talked about. Him, really, it was him and Justin Herbert, if you remember, heading into last season, who were likely to be the number one overall pick. We've seen a very small sample size of Justin Herbert, who we'll talk about here momentarily. I'm going to take the overs because I think Miami's going to be trailing in the game. So if you're down, you got to throw a lot. And if you throw a lot, you probably throw an interception and maybe a couple of touchdowns. So I feel like it's one of those games where he probably has a couple of touchdowns, probably has a pick, and probably throws for 280 yards. I just wouldn't have switched over if I was the Dolphins. I understand the reason you drafted Tua was not to keep him on the bench, but to put him in the game. Well, if you're coming off back-to-back wins, why would you put him in the game then? It doesn't make sense.
I like the move by Miami. I think Tua is their future. I think his ceiling's a little bit more higher than you give him credit for. I think he can be maybe not upper echelon, like where like the Kyler Murrays, where the Mahomes, where the those kind of guys are. But I think he has enough mobility and his arm is stronger than hell. And I think he's lived up to every type of hype that he's been in. Like, he could have won the Heisman. Obviously, he didn't because he got injured towards the end of the year. He won a national championship game with a quarterback that had the position before him and threw a dart in overtime. The Dolphins are 3-3. They weren't really going anywhere. They weren't falling anywhere. They're a middle-of-the-road team. It was time to get rid and move on from Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick understood that. I'll take the under on Tua's interceptions because I don't think he's a mistake type of guy. I don't think he will have like the right reads at times. I think he might lead a guy too much or maybe throw behind a guy. But I don't think that leads to interceptions. So I'll take the under on the Tua picks.
We continue on. Big division matchup between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Denver Broncos. They both have young, up-and-coming starting quarterbacks. Sean, who do you believe will win a playoff game first, Justin Herbert or Drew Lock?
Oh, I would say Justin Herbert. I mean, I think that we said a lot about Drew Lock last year, the same things that we say about Justin Herbert. Well, now we've seen that Justin Herbert appears to be a little bit more of the real deal, and Drew Lock has come back down to earth. And I think Herbert's got better talent around him. I don't know if either one of their coaches is going to be around next year. And any time that a young quarterback has to go from, you know, a new coach and a new system and a new coordinator, it just sets him back further and further. So I'd say Herbert's probably in the playoffs in the next couple of years, and Drew Lock's probably, I don't know, a backup somewhere in the next couple of years.
I couldn't disagree more. I think Drew Lock has superstar potential. I think he has a killer arm. I think he's lost Cortland Sutton this year. Noah Fant hasn't been healthy. Philip Lindsay missed some games. They went and took a stretch on Melvin Gordon. I like Justin Herbert. I think they can both be elite. I think Justin Herbert has a little bit more upside just because I think his arm is a little bit more powerful. But I don't think we can talk about Drew Lock being a backup. I mean, the guy threw 45 touchdowns in the SEC. He went 4-1 as a starter last year, had shoulder problems this year, and his first game back was a snow game against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. So it's a little tough, a little early to throw that type of thing on Drew Lock this early. But I think both those guys set up a good future in the AFC West with those two and Patrick Mahomes.
Standing up for your Lee Summit brethren.
That's
I see
my
you.
Guy. His dad likes you. Me. His dad likes the shows I do. And I like his restaurants. And Drew's a good guy. Just saying. Good family.
Nepotism running wild in this building.
I just
building.
Need him to be mean and bad so we can have a heel in the AFC West again. I need that again.
We finish our trip around a big NFL Sunday with the Seahawks and Niners. Now, The game itself features two good teams, so I don't really care about the game individually. Sean, what I'm going to ask you is, do you believe that all four NFC West teams could make the playoffs this season?
Yeah, I think if the playoffs started today, all four of those teams, yeah, they would all make the playoffs. They've all got a winning record right now. You got Seattle at 5-1. You got Arizona at 5-2. The Rams at 5-2. And the 49ers at 4-3. There's going to be some carnage, right? Everybody's going to kind of beat each other up within the division. But I think that there's enough there. And all these teams have gotten off to a really, really good start. Where if I said Seattle goes 13-3, Arizona goes 12-4, the Rams go 11-5, and San Francisco goes 10-6, that can happen. And that gets everybody in. So, yeah. And there's just a lot of. There's a lot of bad in the NFC, like toward Philly's bad, Washington's bad, Dallas is bad, the Giants are bad, Detroit's bad, sorry, Rob, the Vikings are bad. There's just a lot of bad. So it feels like, yeah, I bet that all four of those teams do end up making the postseason.
No, I think 3 out of 4. I think San Francisco comes down to reality. Too many injuries, not enough trust in Jimmy G. So I think one of them misses it, it's going to be San Francisco. But the other three, definitely set up for success in that division.
Yeah, and I've always been, at least the last couple of years, a huge fan of Kyler Murray in the last couple of years since he's been in the NFL. I've always thought that his style of game is exactly what the NFL has gone to the last couple of years. And if you watch him play, he just feels like he's playing at a different level. I'm not talking about with his arm, more so with his legs. Now, who knows? Maybe it's going to be, you know, what I always talk about with Lamar Jackson, that he's good for now and 4 or 5 years from now because of the style that he plays. Are we still talking about that guy, or did somebody square him up? That's all it takes, right? That's why the shelf life of a running back is just a little over 3 years. Not everybody's Frank Gore, who we were talking about yesterday, that plays 18 years in the NFL. Most of these guys, what happens is at some point they get hit, and when they get hit, they got surgery or they're just not the same guy and they slow down over the years. At some point, you'll think that's going to happen with Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, which is why it's going to be interesting when those guys get, or at least are due for the long-term contract. Because when Pat was due, that was the biggest no-brainer of all no-brainers in the history of no-brainers. It was like, cool, how much do you want, Pat? How many years can we get you for? Oh, okay, cool, you'll do 12 for $500 million. Put your name right here. Same thing to some extent with Deshaun Watson. Now, looking back on it, you can say maybe a little bit too much and maybe a little bit too early. But with Kyler Murray and with Lamar Jackson, it's going to be really interesting because of the style that they play. Like, if that was your – if you were the owner of that football team, and so essentially if it was your money – would you be comfortable giving that guy an 8-year deal? Would you be comfortable giving them a Patrick Mahomes type deal based on the style of football that they play? I don't know if I would.
I mean, it's tough to answer that question now. I think that he's fully focused on that team, and I think that team has done very much in moving in the right direction. I mean, they went and basically were gifted DeAndre Hopkins, so they have what I think is the best receiver in football. You have Kyler Murray, who is very athletic, and I told Jay Binkley this last Sunday in postgame that it was kind of interesting to watch Seattle and Arizona play because it was like watching Russ play against his younger self. Now, Russ Wilson was never as fast or as agile, I don't think, as Kyler Murray, but they both had similar paths. Like, Kyler Murray went to Oakland to be a baseball player. Russell Wilson could have went and pitched for the Texas Rangers if he wanted to. They're both kind of the same size. They both kind of have the same play style. So it was really cool. Like, when you think about guys that we always comp, where we say, what's their ceiling? What's their floor? I think Kyler Murray's ceiling could be Russell Wilson. So when you put it in that type of situation, yeah, I'd probably be happy to give Kyler Murray a long-term deal with my team, because we've talked about this every day that I've been with you, Sean, and that is, it is important to have your quarterback and the trust in your quarterback and moving forward to make your NFL franchise a good team moving forward. And the Jets haven't done that with Sam Darnold, and many teams haven't done that because they can't hit on quarterback. It appears that the guy that touches the ball every single play in Arizona has figured it out in a matter of a year and a half, because it's not a fluke that they're 5-2 and that they're in a division that is 19-8 combined. He is going to be what is this type of quarterback in this play moving forward. Is he Lamar? I don't think anybody's Lamar, but I think he can be Russ Wilson.
Everybody was talking about Josh Allen earlier in the year, and the good thing that he has going for him is that the division that he plays in sucks. It's the same thing that Tom Brady had going for him for years. You rack up a bunch of wins because you play in a putrid division. It's the exact opposite for Kyler Murray. Like, every single week, you got to deal with Kyle Shanahan, right? Every other week, you're dealing with a Sean McVay or a Pete Carroll. So I don't know if he wins as quick maybe as some of these other guys do, but I think that he's probably already, if you ask me, is Kyler Murray right now like a top 5, top 6 quarterback? To me, there's no question. So I don't remember how I did last week. I hope that I made you some money. Let's check it out.
Here's this week's Levine's Locks. Take the 7 with the Panthers over New Orleans. If you got a big pair of brass, go ahead and play the Panthers on the money line. I think they can win the game. Speaking of the money line, you don't need the 3.5 when you take the Arizona Cardinals over Seattle. Take the Cardinals of plus 160 at some point.
That money line.
Seattle's going to lose a football game. They keep playing with fire. It's the Sunflower Showdown, K-State versus KU. K-State's a 20.5-point favorite. K-State should probably be a 40.5-point favorite.
What's the final score of that one?
By 30 at halftime.
55-14?
Games
that'll
in
work.
Manhattan, you'll win that one comfortably. Take the 27.5 points with Nebraska. Hear me and hear me loud. Turn your radio up. Khabib's never lost. Some people say he never will. Tomorrow afternoon, Gaethje knocks out Khabib.
I meant to say Khabib chokes out Gaethje. So what we go, 2 and 3? I cost you a little bit of money. I'm going to try to do a little bit better for you today with this week's Levine's Locks.
Levine's Locks.
I love this one. Rams -3.5 against the Dolphins. You got experienced quarterback at this point, Jared Goff versus a, well, you couldn't be a less experienced quarterback into a, that feels like a blowout to me. I'm surprised that it's not a bigger line. Rams only laying 3.5. That money line that I told you about last week with the Arizona Cardinals, play it with the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. You don't need the 3.5 points or whatever you can get with the Steelers. They're going to win that game. Now, it's going to be dicey, and they're probably going to be down. It's going to take a little bit of a comeback. But at the end, you're going to take your ticket to the window. Steelers +180. They beat the Ravens, and the Steelers remain undefeated. The Eagles are a bad football team. They're a 9.5-point favorite. The Eagles are a 9.5-point favorite. Now, they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, who are also a worse football team, and I don't know who's going to be their quarterback. But I don't care if Rob Brenton's their quarterback. They can cover that one. Take Dallas +9.5. The Bears are the biggest fraud I've seen in a while. I don't know how the Bears ever got to 5-1, 6-1. We're going to look up at the end of the year. They're going to be 7-9 and miss the playoffs. We're going to go, well, what happened? What happened is they suck the whole time. Give up the 6.5 with the Titans. They're going to smash the Bears. And then in college football, I don't know what people aren't seeing with K-State. K-State's an underdog at West Virginia. And West Virginia's not a great football team. They can't score a lot. And you can get +4.5 with the Wildcats coming off of an easy win, which there's a lot of easy wins in Lawrence these days. But go ahead and play the money line at +155. With K-State. So a quick recap. Take K-State on the money line. Give up 3.5 with the Rams over the Dolphins. Play the Steelers on the money line at +180. Dallas gets 9.5 against the Eagles. Take those points and give up 6.5 with the Titans and the Bears. I don't think there's any way the Bears can hang around in that football game. I know who can, though. The Ravens and or the Pittsburgh Steelers. I honestly believe that could be the game of the year. We'll talk about it coming up next. And Matt Ryan said yesterday something that is, it's just unbelievable. You got to hear what it is coming up next right here on The Drive.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.